Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars, topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Jesse Tapia. All right. It is Friday, everyone's favorite day of the week. My favorite day of the week is actually, I'd say, Thursday. But that's just how it is because I'm in college. Thursday's more so like the Friday. Thursday's become like the Friday of my week now, if that makes any sense. All right. But either way, it's Friday. Usually people love Friday because it's the last day before the weekend, last day of work before you're off for 2 days. And I remember when I was in elementary school, middle school, high school, Friday was the best because same thing. We didn't have to go to school Saturday, Sunday. But nonetheless, here we are talking basketball for this show, as we always do. All right, first segment. Let me tell you how the show's going to go. First segment, we're going to be talking about the NCAA games from last night. We had Florida State knocking off Gonzaga. My lock of the week, if you remember. Loyola Chicago knocking off Nevada. All right, we had Michigan pretty much doing whatever they wanted. Shooting threes, driving in, creating turnovers, whatever they wanted against Texas A&M. And then we had Kansas State knocking off Big Blue, Kentucky. All right. Fun little game there I was watching. So we're going to be talking about that for the first segment. Second segment, we're going to be talking about the NBA games from Thursday. I'm going to recap those. But we're going to save one game for the third segment, which was the Philadelphia 76ers and Orlando Magic game. Okay, I want to talk about Philly in the third segment. That team is currently fourth in the East right now, playing really well. I think they're only about a game back of the Cavs right now. So we got a little, got ourselves a little bit of a... some intriguement going on. Is intriguement even a word? I think it is. I don't know. We should find that out. But either way, the Sixers are a team I'm kind of putting my eye on them. All right. Remember I said before, I think they could knock out the Cavs in the first round if the matchup presented itself. And I don't know. Philly's playing really good. So we'll be doing that for the third segment, talking about Philly. And then for the fourth segment, we'll be talking about pretty much anything else going on in the world of basketball, as we always do. All right, so it's going to be a fun show. We're going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. So let's get ready. Let's get it going. All right, let's talk about the games from yesterday. We had, we'll talk about Loyola Chicago versus Nevada. And again, not to brag or anything, but I mean, that was my lock pick of the week, so I'm going to keep throwing that out there too. But either way, yeah, Loyola Chicago versus Nevada, that was a good game, 69-68. All right, and I mean, Loyola Chicago was playing well in the first half, finished the first half up 28-24. And then second half comes, and you could tell, all right, because I really have only watched, I think, Nevada once before this in the tournament. And Nevada, that's a team of runs, okay? They're not a team that's really going to keep up from start to finish. They're more so a team, if they're going to get down, they're down by like 5-7 or whatever, they're going to go on a run, and eventually they're going to bring it back to tie the game or take the lead. And that's pretty much what the second half there was for Nevada, I feel personally. All right, they went on a bunch of runs, and then eventually they had the lead for a while, were playing well. And one thing with Loyola Chicago that I really liked is the fact that they stuck to the game plan. All right. They didn't panic or anything like that because they were down. They didn't panic because they were the 11th seed losing to a 7th seed or anything like that. They knew we got to stick to our game plan, chip away, and we'll come back. And sure enough, that's what happened. It's kind of like with UMBC and Virginia. Still can't believe that happened, but nonetheless, it did. All right. But with UMBC and Virginia, it's like Virginia was down early by so much. And then they're like, ooh, what do we got to do? We got to hurry up. I mean, like, it's kind of like the thing where you can't gain it all back in one shot. That's kind of like what Virginia was trying to do. Instead of sticking to the game plan and chipping away and just playing defense, which, I mean, they were trying to play defense and all. It's just a matter of UMBC was hitting every shot they possibly could in that game, I feel. But either way, yeah, like I said, with Virginia, it's just more so they panicked. All right? They panicked big time. They didn't really have an answer of how to come back. They didn't stick to the game plan, and they... like I said, they just pretty much panicked and just couldn't couldn't get like the right shots. We're taking a lot of threes, and pretty much we're just trying to rush everything instead of pretty much not milking the shot clock, but letting everything flow freely. All right. So that's one thing that I liked about Loyola Chicago. They didn't panic. They stuck to the game plan. Loyola Chicago, that's a team of fundamentals right there. Let me tell you. All right. That's a team. Pass the ball around five times before you go and score. Make sure you're getting good shots always. Get to the rim before you get take threes and all that. Like, Loyola Chicago isn't a team that takes a bunch of threes. At least I don't feel. All right, it's kind of like if you're open, then yeah, take it. If not, let's get the better shot. And that's exactly what they were doing. All right, so Loyola Chicago played well in that one. I mean, Nevada, it's kind of disappointing to see from Nevada, but just disappointing about Nevada because they were playing extremely well in this tournament. Usually these teams out in the West, like the Nevadas of the world, Gonzagas, usually don't do too well. All right, and Nevada looked like they could have been that team that's kind of like the Cinderella team going, but I guess that just belongs to Loyola Chicago. So, nice little win from them there. I like the way they played and all that. Loyola Chicago is going to be playing Kansas State in the Elite Eight, I believe, and Loyola Chicago could very well find themselves into the Final Four. I think if Loyola Chicago ended up beating Kansas State and Michigan ends up beating whoever they're playing, I think it's Florida State. Michigan, I think. Michigan and Loyola Chicago face off, and of course, you know that my pick to win it all is Michigan. So, I don't know. If Loyola Chicago makes the Final Four, though, that'll be one of the biggest stories of the tournament. But that's crazy to see how 11 seed making the Final Four isn't even going to be the top story because of the fact that UMBC, the Retrievers, ended up being the first 16 seed to ever beat a 1 seed. And Virginia's never going to live that down, I swear. I mean, imagine like Virginia, like fans from Virginia Tech, whatever else, whatever other rival teams Virginia has. I mean, imagine those fans. All you got to say, yeah, at least we didn't lose to a 16 seed in the tournament. That's all you got to say. Conversation's over. You win. But either way, yeah, that's how the game ended up. Then we had another good game, Kansas State versus Kentucky. Kansas State was playing well for the entire game. Kentucky came on strong in the towards the end of the second half, but it just wasn't enough. Kansas State won this one 61-58. All right, Kentucky was that team. It was way too good to be true for that team, all right? Had a bunch of lower seeds in the bracket left, and, I mean, there was the whole talk, oh, they got an easy path to the Final Four, all that, and they blow it, all right? Coach Cal said before the game, make sure those guys aren't drinking that poison. At first, I was like, wait, you don't want them drinking alcohol? Well, I mean, that goes without saying. He's like, oh, no, drinking the poison of listening to everyone saying that they have an easy path. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right. But, yeah, either way, I mean, I don't know. They gave it up. They didn't even give it up. They just didn't come on strong enough. All right. Like I said, they played well in the second half. Ended up outscoring Kansas State in the second half by a point, but nonetheless, it didn't matter because they needed to outscore them by four in order to win this game. But yeah, just with Kentucky, I mean, this was a game that you felt that they were going to pull out. You felt that they were going to beat Loyola Chicago in the next game, and they'd be making the Final Four. But it's just, I don't know. Like I said, it was just too good to be true with the path they had there. All right. They drank the poison. Okay, this is, and I'm not trying to take anything from Kansas State too, because Kansas State was without a doubt the better team in that game yesterday from start to finish. All right, but I mean, just with Kentucky, you'd more so expect them to, how do you say, step up a little bit more. Kentucky, like, they're a team where it's either Sweet 16 and lose or make it to the Final Four. There's no in between. They don't make it just to the Elite Eight or anything like that. They're either really good or they let you down before you know it. All right, and that's exactly what happened here. I mean, at one point they did take the lead, but Kansas State, they just kept coming. I think there was a play towards the end of the second half where Kentucky gets the double team. Dude passes us out, but they double team way too early. Guy gets the ball back and ends up driving in and getting I think it was the game winning layup or the go ahead layup. Either way, I mean, it was a big shot there. And with Kentucky, I mean, Kentucky couldn't hit their free throws yesterday. And that's one thing I kind of love about college basketball is when there's a team up by 2 points, and if they get fouled, you kind of like already know, okay, the team, whoever team is that just fouled, they're going to get another chance. Because these players do not hit their free throws whatsoever. I'm not sure what it is, but like free throws are like the boogeyman in college basketball. So it's like with Kansas State, you knew that every one of them was going to miss the free throw, and he did. And Kentucky has a chance to go out and hit the game-tying three, banks it, it brims out. I told one of my buddies, if he would have called bank, it would have went in, no doubt. But nonetheless, I don't think he called bank, so it didn't work out. But, yeah, just with Kentucky, I mean, kind of disappointing. I mean, this season, there was a point in time this season where I was like, maybe Coach K's job is up in the air right here because of the fact that they weren't playing well. It was kind of rumors going on. Maybe Kentucky's not going to make the tournament. But either way, they ended up playing well, finished off the season strong, came in as a 5 seed, and just couldn't get the job done. With Kansas State, that's one of the most entertaining teams this tournament, I feel. All right, they've been playing well, knocked off UMBC. All right, broke everyone's hearts. But nonetheless, Kansas State, that's going to be a strong team. They got Loyola Chicago up next. And, I mean, that's going to be a fun game to watch. That Loyola Chicago's a team. They both play to their strengths, all right? Kansas State is more quick and all that. Loyola Chicago is more fundamentals of the game. So it's going to be a very fun game to watch as far as the team styles go. All right, so I'm really excited for those games. And then we did have two other games, believe it or not, and those games were both blowouts. We had Florida State knocking off Gonzaga 75-60. I mean, Gonzaga really stood no chance in this one. Florida State was up 41-32 at the end of the first half and then outscored Gonzaga by 6 in the second half, 34-28. So yeah, Florida State, I mean, that's a dangerous team right there. That's a team you do not want to see in this tournament, all right? I mean, they're playing extremely well, extremely fast. And one of the biggest things about teams in this tournament that have been successful, we're seeing all the teams that have had that have seniors on the team, juniors, guys that have been playing together for a while. All right, Florida State is one of those teams. Texas Tech also. Texas Tech looking like one of the best teams in the tournament there. Clemson, I'm sure, has a bunch of seniors and juniors on their team. All right, that's one thing that helps benefit you in the NCAA tournament that I don't think we've really caught on to is the fact that these teams that have been together for at least a couple of years always tend to do well. And that's one thing I'm going to do, picking my brackets going forward, too. Which team has been around the longest? That's going to be a factor that jumps into it. Because like I said, like teams like Florida State, been together for a while, know how to play, know what's good for the other player, know what's good for themselves. So, I mean, Florida State, like I said, Gonzaga just had no answer for Florida State whatsoever. And then we had Michigan versus Texas A&M. Texas A&M, really, that game was over from the start. Michigan pretty much did whatever they wanted. I remember it was entertaining that first half. All right, Michigan was hitting any three they wanted, getting any rebound they wanted, was creating turnovers. Texas A&M was just like Virginia, like a deer in the headlights. No idea what they were doing. Were struggling. All right, had no answer to it. I mean, second half they played better. I mean, Michigan outscored them by 3, 47-44. But in the first half, it was 52-28. I mean, Michigan really just stomped on Texas A&M and just really didn't stop. And that's a little violent, but nonetheless, you get what I'm getting at. All right, but yeah, Michigan playing well. Like I said, I mean, the beginning of the tournament, my bracket, I got Michigan making it to the Final Four. I also have West Virginia and Duke, so I got three out of the four final teams left. I messed up picking Arizona. Didn't really work out there. I always pick Arizona every year, too, as you know. But either way, I mean, Michigan playing like one of the better teams in the tournament. All right, I think they are going to end up making it to the national title game. I think they're going to end up facing Duke, and I think Michigan could knock off Duke. All right, Michigan's been playing really well, was the best team in the Big Ten. I think they won the Big Ten tournament this year, and they were kind of flying in under the radar for this tournament. No one was really talking about them too much, and it was just a matter of, I don't know, maybe just didn't give enough respect. But if North Carolina would have beat Texas A&M, would have played Michigan, I still would have picked Michigan. I still think they would have won just because of how well they've been playing. So, yeah, we had a lot of good games yesterday. Like I said, Florida State, like with Gonzaga, I mean, they still have not made it to a Final Four. All right, have not. This was the time to do it. All the higher seeds are getting knocked out. I mean, Michigan would have been the team they would have had to play, I think, in the next round. But nonetheless, Gonzaga's out. Gonzaga might never make it to a Final Four. It's just one thing with these mid-major teams, like St. Mary's, Gonzaga, and all those guys. I mean, they look good. They play good in the regular season. But you realize once it comes tournament time, they don't really stand a chance against these SEC, ACC teams or anything like that. So that's how the games went last night. Let's see. What do we got going on tonight? I think we got Kansas versus Clemson. All right, I'm going Clemson in this one. Clemson's been playing a whole lot better than Kansas has in this tournament. And right now, it's just a matter of you got to go with the hot hand. I think Clemson's going to win. I'm going to lock it down for tonight. All right, usually I don't make too many lock picks, but that's my lock pick of the week right here. Clemson over Kansas also. All right, then we got West Virginia versus Villanova. Like I said, I got West Virginia making it to the Final Four in my bracket, so I'm sticking with them. I love the full court press. Bob Huggins, one of my favorite coaches. I think right now it's down to West Virginia or Michigan for my favorite college basketball team, so we'll see. But either way, I got Virginia knocking off Villanova. We got Duke versus Syracuse. This game's going to be a whole lot closer than people think, all right? That 2-3 zone, like I said, it's like a VCR. People know what it is. Not too many people know how to use it anymore or know how to go against it, speaking of the 2-3 zone. So I got Duke in this one, but it's going to be close. And then we got Texas Tech versus Purdue. Texas Tech's been playing extremely well. Purdue's been playing well, too, but I got Texas Tech winning this one. So that's how I think tonight's game's going to go. So that's either way. It's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to be talking about the NBA games from Thursday. Not going to talk about the Sixers game because we're going to move that to the third segment. But either way, that's how the show's going to go for the rest. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about Thursday's game in the March Madness Tournament. We talked about pretty much all of them, all right? Gonzaga ended up losing to Florida State, didn't really stand a chance in that one. Texas A&M didn't stand a chance against Michigan from the start of the game. I mean, literally from tip-off, you knew it wasn't going to happen, all right? Kansas State knocked off Kentucky in the upset there, and then you had Loyola Chicago still alive, all right? Going to be in the Elite Eight, going to be playing against Kansas State. Could they make it to the Final Four? It's a possibility. That's probably going to be a real good game there. But either way, for this segment, we're going to head over to the pros and talk about the games from last night. So let's get into it. First up, we had the Memphis Grizzlies facing off with the Charlotte Hornets, and I mean, this was brutal, all right? The Grizzlies lost this game by 61 points. A professional basketball team lost to another professional basketball team by 61 points. All right, that's ridiculous. That's bad for the NBA right there, all right? But either way, Charlotte won this one, 140-79. You had your Michael Green from Memphis with 5 points, 7 rebounds, 2 of 7 shooting, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. Dylan Brooks had 5 points, 1 rebound, shot 2 of 5. Tyreke Evans probably wishes he was in Boston. Really hope Danny Ainge would have traded for him because this dumpster fire he's playing in with Memphis. But he had 16 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 7 of 11, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. Off the bench, you had Wayne Selden with 18 points, shot 7 of 12, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line. Ben McLemore, supposed to be the King Savior. Remember that? They drafted him, what, at number 8? And it's always fun to look back at the Kings drafts and see like how they could have got Kawhi Leonard, they could have got Klay Thompson, they could have got a whole bunch of guys, but they ended up going with like a guy like Jimmer Fredette or something like that. I mean, it's always fun to watch Kings old drafts. But anyway, yeah, Ben McLemore, only 7 points, 4 rebounds, shot 2 of 9 from the field, 0 of 2 from the 3-point line. As for the Charlotte Hornets, I mean, Marvin Williams had 15 points, 6 rebounds, shot 5 of 8 from the field, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist had 4 points, 7 rebounds. Willie Hernan Gomez had 10 points, 12 rebounds, shot 5-11 from the field in 19 minutes. Kemba Walker just absolutely went off. All right, absolutely went off. 35 points in the first half. Finished the game with 46 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 13 of 18, 10 of 14 from the 3-point line. Could not stop him yesterday, all right? Dwight Howard had his 32-point, 30-rebound game the night before. This game, Dwight Howard gets suspended, so Kemba's like, I'm going to play pretty well myself here. 46 points, like I said, I mean, just ridiculous. Kemba Walker, you take away Kemba Walker's points, and Charlotte still wins pretty easily. All right? That's just sad to see right there by Memphis. But either way, yeah, Kemba Walker played well. So did Jeremy Lamb. He had 12 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, shot 4-7 from the field, 2-4 from the 3-point line. Frank Kaminsky, he had 14 points, 2 rebounds, shot 5-6 from the field, 4-4 from the 3-point line. Malik Mock got 10 minutes in this one, only had 4 points, shot 1-4 or 0-2 from the 3-point line, had 1 rebound, 1 assist. All right. Charlotte not making the playoffs, as we know. I've been saying it. I'm going to continue to say it. They need to trade Kemba Walker in the offseason. They're not going anywhere with him. It's not necessarily a knock on Kemba, but I mean, this team just isn't built, I guess, just to play with him. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Like, it's not Kemba Walker's fault, but there's just something about this team. They have decent players, but like they just can't put it together. All right, so yeah. With Charlotte, it's like nothing new. With Memphis, I mean, how does Chicago get a warning for tanking, and Memphis gets to go out and lose by 61 and nothing happens? Like, if anything, Memphis has been deliberately tanking. All right, they have not played well at all. They're not playing their star players. Like, I guess that's the thing there. They don't have any star players either. But, I mean, Memphis has been really bad. They really want DeAndre Ayton. Imagine Memphis gets that first pick and they don't take DeAndre Ayton. That'd just be wild to me. But either way, Charlotte won big, 140-79. As for the next game, we have the Detroit Pistons facing off with the Houston Rockets. And Houston won this one in overtime. A real low-scoring game in this one. Houston won 196. For Detroit, you had Blake Griffin with 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Shot 9 of 22 from the field, 1 of 7 from the 3-point line. Stanley Johnson only played 14 minutes in this one, 2 of 4 from the field, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. Had 5 points, 3 rebounds. Andre Drummond had 17 points, 20 rebounds, shot 6 of 13. Reggie Jackson, his second game back, supposed to be the one that helped this whole thing work with the whole Blake Griffin trade and all that. Was supposed to help them get to the playoffs. Turns out Detroit just wasn't good enough to even be near the playoffs before Reggie got back. And Reggie hasn't played well since he's gotten back. I mean, it's only been 2 games, I know. But, I mean, the guy played 20 minutes, shot 2 of 13, 0 of 6 from the 3-point line, 3 rebounds, 4 points. Not great. All right, Reggie Bullock, he had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 5 of 10 from the field, 2 of 7 from the 3-point line. Ish Smith off the bench had 18 points, 8 rebounds, shot 8 of 14 from the field, 2 of 6 from the 3-point line. Luke Kennard, he had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 6 of 11, 0 of 5 from the 3-point line. For the Houston Rockets, you had Trevor Ariza, 9 points, 5 rebounds, shot 3 of 11, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. Not the best shooting night from him. PJ Tucker had 10 points, 8 rebounds, shot 4 of 11, 2 of 7 from the 3-point line. Clint Capella had 10 points, 14 rebounds, shot 5 of 8. James Harden struggled in this one big time. 4 of 20 from the field, 0 of 8 from the 3-point line, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 21 points. Eric Gordon stepped up, though. 22 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, shot 8 of 19 from the field, 3 of 9 from the 3-point line. Luke Mbambute, I think he's dealing with a foot injury or something like that. Left the game early, only played 7 minutes, but did well. 7 points, 1 rebound, 3 of 4 shooting, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. Ryan Anderson had 7 points, 7 rebounds, shot 3 of 6. Gerald Green struggled in this one, 1 of 9 from the field, 1 of 8 from the 3-point line, only 3 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And then Joe Johnson finally stepped up in this one, the old man. 11 points, 3 rebounds, shot 4 of 11 from the field, 2 of 7 from the 3-point line. No Chris Paul in this one, so a nice little win by the Rockets right here. All right, this game went to overtime, but both teams are really struggling. I mean, it's kind of weird when you see a game go to overtime, and one team barely breaks 100, literally by getting 100 points, the other one struggles. But this is kind of, obviously it's the Pistons, so if you're the Rockets, you kind of expect to win a game like this, and you kind of need to win a game like this because it's a bad team. But without Chris Paul and James Harden shooting the ball well, I mean, this is kind of encouraging here because you kind of see around, look around yourself. You're like, yeah, we got a bunch of guys out here come out and do a job. Like Eric Gordon comes in, steps in for Chris Paul. I mean, James Harden took over the point guard position, but nonetheless, Eric Gordon comes in the starting lineup. And said, 22 points, shot 8 of 19. Pretty solid there. And Joe Johnson, when you need him, he'll step up. 11 points, shot 4 of 11. So I really like what the Rockets are doing right now. Still don't think that they're going to be able to beat the Warriors in a series this season, whether it's the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, it'll be the Western Conference Finals, but like I said, I just don't think that they're, I don't want to say ready yet, I just think the Warriors are still that good. I mean, if the Warriors came into the postseason still injured, then yeah, that's going to make a difference, but right now, I mean, Houston's got to be pretty excited with what they got going on. And like I said, I could be wrong, and Houston could knock off the Warriors, but it's just more so a wait-and-see type thing. And as for Detroit, I mean, business as usual, loss as usual, nothing really changing on here. With the Pistons, I mean, it's a matter of, I'm not sure if they can rebuild with Blake or build a team with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, not because those aren't two players you could build around, but it's just a matter of Detroit just has a terrible front office, all right? I mean, I still don't get the Blake Griffin trade. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of, like, excited about it just to see what the Pistons could do, and they were playing well, but it's just a matter of bringing in Blake Griffin. Like, were they expecting to make the playoffs? Are they thinking more long-term, and now they have Blake Griffin so they can start working to that long-term plan? Or, like, I don't know. It made no sense to me. Like, I've been seeing, like, their plan was the trade for Blake, have him and Andre Drummond play well, keep him close in playoff contention, and then when Reggie Jackson gets back, boom, they're going to make playoffs. Like, really? Is that really that went something that went through someone's mind in that front office? Like, they really thought Reggie Jackson was going to be the guy that helped put him over along with Blake Griffin? Like, come on now. Reggie Jackson's been extremely inconsistent since he's been in Detroit. All right, played well with the Thunder, but that was, I think, more so a small sample size than anything. And with the Pistons, he's been injured, he's been inconsistent, hasn't been shooting the ball entirely well, consistently. So, I mean, with him, that's not really a guy you could build a team around. Stanley Johnson, that dude has no jump shot whatsoever. I think he came in the draft the same year as Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart, at least you could say, his defense is what keeps him on the floor. And Marcus Smart brings something to the Celtics, kind of like a spark. He's got that spark, he's got that it factor, you know? With Stanley Johnson, there's just no it factor with him. It's kind of like you're waiting for him to pretty much break out, but it hasn't happened yet, all right? The guy hasn't developed a jump shot. Like, Marcus Smart can every so now and then hit shots, but Stanley Johnson, it's more brick after brick after brick, all right? And with him, it's more so like you can't build a team around him either. He's more of a guy that's got to come off the bench and be a role-type player. With Reggie Bullock, I see him more like as an Etuan Moore. All right, Etuan Moore with the Pelicans, no one's really going to think of him as a top player or anything like that, but he has a role and he does it nice there. Etuan Moore is out here averaging around 14 points a game. I think it is something near that, and he's doing it consistently. You don't need him to go out, do too much. Just go out, get your points, and do your job, and that's what Etuan Moore is doing. That's what Reggie Bullock has done since Blake Griffin got here, too. Like I said, Reggie Bullock scored 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 5 of 10. I mean, the dude played really well. So with Detroit, honestly, if I'm them, I'm getting rid of Drummond. I'm getting rid of Griffin. I'm getting rid of Jackson. I'm just blowing it up. All right, it's time to rebuild from the bottom up. Detroit should be a team that isn't as bad as they are. Haven't really been a good team since the Chauncey Billups teams in the mid-2000s, all right? And now it's just time to blow everything up, start from scratch, and get it going once again. Because right now, what Detroit's putting out onto the court is embarrassing. But either way, like I said, the Rockets won this one 196. As for the next game, we had the LA Lakers facing off with the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Pelicans won this one 128-125. For the Lakers, you had Julius Randle with 23 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, shots 9-16 from the field. Kyle Kuzma, he had 22 points, 5 rebounds, shot 5-11 from the field, 4-6 from the 3-point line. Brook Lopez had 23 points, 6 rebounds, shot 9-12, 1-2 from the 3-point line. Lonzo Ball continued to struggle shooting, 2-15 from the field, 1-12 from the 3-point line, 6 points, 9 assists, 13 rebounds. All right, with Lonzo, he was playing well for a certain period after the All-Star break, was playing pretty well, and then just came back to being the old Lonzo Ball that we saw in the beginning of the season. All right. Lonzo's got the same problem as Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins tries to take threes, and we all know those threes aren't going down, all right? Lonzo Ball should not be taking 12 of his 15 shots from the three-point line, all right? Whoever has led Lonzo do that needs to hold him accountable and say, you know what, cut threes down, start driving in, because it's not working, all right? Lonzo Ball right now is not a three-point shooter whatsoever. I mean, the fact that the dude is taking 12 threes a game is ridiculous. Steph Curry barely even takes 12 threes, doesn't even take 12 threes a game. And I'm not saying, obviously, Lonzo Ball averages 12 threes a game, but you get what I'm saying for this one specific game. I mean, it's still kind of rare for Steph to go out and shoot 12 threes, but nonetheless, he's hitting at least 7 of them when he does that, all right? Steph Curry's only taking 12 threes if he's on fire. Lonzo Ball, you went 1 of 12, all right? Why in the world are you taking this many threes? If he's getting decent shots driving in, Lakers win this game. They only lost by 3 points, and Lonzo Ball couldn't shoot the ball at all in this one, all right? Same thing as Andrew Wiggins, like I said. You got to drive in, get your points that way. Develop that three-point shot in the offseason. If not, I mean, just stick to what you know. But either way, struggle to shoot in this one. Struggle to shoot in the last couple of weeks, I feel. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he had shot 9 of 15, 8 of 11 from the three-point line, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, had 28 points in this one, played really well. Then you had Isaiah Thomas with 15 points, 2 assists, 1 rebound, shot 6 of 12, 1 of 4 from the three-point line. For the Pelicans, you had Anthony Davis with 33 points, 9 rebounds, shot 12 of 20 from the field. Etuan Moore, like I said, that guy that's going to give you around 14 a game, had 13 points in this one, 3 rebounds, shot 6 of 10, 1 of 3 from the three-point line. Emeka Okafor had 2 points in this one, 6 rebounds, only played 20 minutes, shot 1 of 3. Rajon Rondo probably saw that, oh, we're playing the Lakers, Isaiah Thomas can be out there, got up, was ready for this one from the jump. All right, he had 24 points, 10 assists, 2 rebounds, shot 11 of 18, 1 of 3 from the three-point line. Very good for both of them. None of them got ejected in this one, all right? Last time they played against each other, I think they both got ejected. Rondo and Thomas, they got a little mini rivalry going on right now, all right? Rondo is a better all-time Celtic than Isaiah Thomas is, just because at one point, Rondo was one of the best point guards in the league when Derrick Rose was had 2 good knees and was playing well, too. I mean, that was fun, a little time to watch the Celtics there. But with Isaiah Thomas, I mean, he's got to be a top 15 Celtic, a top 5 point guard all-time in that franchise, at least. I mean, you got guys like Bob Cousy. Kyrie Irving hasn't been around long enough yet to be considered an all-time Celtic, but if he signed an extension and pretty much was there for an extended period of time, Kyrie Irving might be the best point guard to ever play for the Celtics. All right, I get Bob Cousy's won championships and all that, but I mean, that was way back when. All right, Kyrie Irving, I mean, you put him back then, that dude's the best player of all time. But anyway, you got Kyrie Irving, who could be, Bob Cousy, Dennis Johnson, Rajon Rondo. I think that's where Isaiah Thomas comes in there. So, I don't know. But either way, like I said, I mean, Rondo said, did he ever win any championships? Are we hanging up banners for conference finals? He's right. All right. Rondo could be a little hard-headed and stubborn and hard to deal with, but he's right about it. But either way, you got Drew Holiday for the Pelicans in this one with 26 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, shot 12 of 16 from the field, 1 of 4 from the 3-point line. Nikolai Mirotic struggled to shoot the ball in this one, 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 2 from the field, 3-point line, 5 points in this one, 6 rebounds. Ian Clark, been extremely consistent off the bench for this team. 13 points, 12 rebounds, shot 5 of 10, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line. Like I said, the Pelicans won this one, 128-125. Pelicans back in the fourth spot in the West. That's big for them. You want that home court advantage for that first round, especially if you're playing against a team like Utah, the Spurs, or even the Oklahoma City Thunder, which I don't think really are going to do too much in the playoffs. As for the next game, you have the Utah Jazz facing off with the Dallas Mavericks. Utah won this one, 119-112. For Utah, you had Derek Favors with 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 8 of 14 from the field, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. Joe Ingles, he had 18 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, shot 7 of 10 from the field, 3 of 5 from the 3-point line. Rudy Gobert had 11 points, 7 rebounds in this one. Ricky Rubio, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line. Ricky Rubio's never been known to be a good shooter, but this year I feel like his shooting numbers have to have gone up a little bit. He's shooting the ball pretty well this season. Donovan Mitchell, nice little shooting night from him, shot 50% from the field, 11 of 22 from the field, 1-6 from the three-point line, had 26 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Off the bench, you had Jay Crowder with 11 points, 4 rebounds, 4-10 shooting, 1-4 from the three-point line. All right, for the Dallas Mavericks, you had Harrison Barnes with 21 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 8 of 18 from the field, 5-6 from the three-point line. Dirk Nowitzki struggled in this one. Kind of sad to see Dirk play so poorly in a game like this. I mean, Dirk, we've always known him to be one of the more consistent players in the league. Dirk's probably the most underrated player to ever play in the NBA, too. The dude's like fifth all time. He's at least top 6 all time in points scored. And we never talk about Dirk as if he's one of the greats. Like, no one talks about Dirk if he's a top 10 player or anything like that. And Dirk's got rings. Dirk's got the championship, like a championship to show for it. But I don't know. For some reason with Dirk, we just don't give him enough respect. But anyway, he finished with 4 points, 1 rebound. JJ Barea had 23 points, 8 assists, shot 9 of 15 from the field, 5 of 7 from the 3-point line. Doug McDermott had 7 points, 2 rebounds, shot 3 of 4 from the field. Let's see, you had Yogi Ferrell with 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 8 of 16 from the field, 3 of 6 from the 3-point line, and you had Aaron Harrison, all right? His brother plays for the Memphis Grizzlies, Andrew Harrison. Did not know that the Mavericks signed Aaron Harrison, but they signed him to a 10-day deal. He had 6 points, 2 rebounds, shot 2 of 5 from the field in 20 minutes. Did have 4 fouls, though. That's not the best, but nonetheless, he did play all right. All right, that's one thing, too. I hope Aaron Harrison, with the Mavericks, at least succeeds a little bit, gets probably extended for the rest of the season, ends up finding himself a team to play for next season. I really liked watching the Harrison Twins when they were on Kentucky. That was a real fun team to watch there. But either way, the Jazz won this one 119-112. Nothing much to say here. Dallas kind of a win for them since they lost. Helps them as far as the tanking goes. All right, they're going to try and go for a guy. Probably going to end up with a guy like Marvin Bagley or maybe a Michael Porter or maybe even a Luka Doncic. As for the Jazz, let me see where they're at currently in the Western Conference standings. They should be still possibly in the 8th seed. I mean, you win one game in the West, you could be up in the 4th seed. So let's see right now. They're currently the 8th seed still. 2 games up on the Nuggets, 2.5 up on the Clippers. Let's see, they are pretty much tied with the Timberwolves as far as records go, but the Timberwolves got the overall tiebreaker. They're a game back of the Spurs for the 6th spot. Game and a half back of the Thunder and Pelicans for that 4 and 5 spot. So they still got an opportunity there. Portland, I think they're going to end up finishing as the 3 seed, so they're pretty much sitting comfortably there. As for the final game of the night, we have the Atlanta Hawks facing off with the Sacramento Kings, and Sacramento won this one 105-90. For Atlanta, you had Mike Muscala with 8 points, 4 rebounds, shot 3 of 9, 2 of 6 from the 3-point line. Taurean Prince had 7 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 3 of 10, 1 of 5 from the 3-point line. Dwayne Dedmon had 13 points, 10 rebounds. And then for the Kings, you had Skylar Bissier with 9 points, 10 rebounds. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well in this one, 4 of 14 from the field, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line. Justin Jackson, 20 points, 2 rebounds, shot 7 of 8, 4 of 4 from the 3-point line. I think that's going to be a player the Kings can build off with right there. Obviously, you got De'Aaron Fox, who's going to be the little cornerstone there, and depending on who they get in the draft also. But Justin Jackson's been having himself a quietly good rookie season. No one's talking about him because this is probably one of the best rookie classes in a while. I mean, you got guys like Jason Tatum, Lauri Markkanen, Ben Simmons, obviously. He didn't get drafted this year. It doesn't matter to me. He didn't play last year, so he's still considered a rookie. But either way, Justin Jackson playing well this season. De'Aaron Fox didn't shoot the ball well in this one at all. 1-11 from the field, 0-2 from the 3-point line, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 points. Bogdanovich had 11 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, shot 4-6 from the field. Kosta Kufis off the bench, 14 points, 11 rebounds. Frank Mason, 16 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, shot 7 of 13 from the field. Vince Carter had 8 points in this one. Old man showed up. Buddy Hield had 16 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 7 of 15 from the field, and 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. Once again, the Kings won this one, 105-90. The Kings can't even tank, right? They're going to end up like the 7th pick in the draft, the 6th pick in the draft. They're not going to be able to get any of the top 5 guys. I mean, it's just classic Kings here. I mean, hopefully they end up losing a couple more games, or a few more games, just so they can solidify themselves as far as tanking goes, but it's going to be tough. I mean, you got, let's see, fourth worst record in the West compared to the East. They're the eighth worst record in the league right now, so they really got to step it up here. But either way, that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, like I said, we're going to be talking about the Sixers, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. So far today, we talked about the March Madness games from Thursday in the first segment, made my picks for the games going on tonight. I got Clemson beating Kansas. I got West Virginia beating Villanova. Texas Tech over Purdue, and then Duke over Syracuse. But like I said, watch out for that game. I think it's going to be closer than people think. I'm more confident in Clemson than I am in Duke. believe it or not. So we talked about that in the first segment. Second segment, we talked about yesterday's NBA games, which was Thursday's games. And then for this segment, we skipped over what? We skipped over the Sixers game. I want to talk more about the Sixers in this segment. Just give them a little bit of shine here, all right? So let's get into it. Let's see. The Sixers faced off with the Orlando Magic and won this one 118-98. All right, this game was in Orlando, but it didn't matter for Philly. They won, like I said, 118-98. For the Sixers, you had Dario Saric with 10 points, 10 rebounds, shot 3-7 from the field, 1-2 from the three-point line. Robert Covington had 15 points, 3 rebounds, shot 5-12, hit 3 threes in this one. Joel Embiid had 17 points, 9 rebounds, shot 6-11, 1-4 from the three-point line. Ben Simmons, only 6 points in this one. Did shoot 3 of 4, though, so I guess it's kind of nice there. It's a nice little percentage. He had 10 assists, 11 rebounds, though. J.J. Redick had 12 points, only played 17 minutes in this one. Shot 3 of 8, 1 of 5 from the three-point line. Off the bench, you had Aaron Ilyasova with 18 points, 3 rebounds. Shot 7 of 11 from the field, 3 of 4 from the three-point line. And you had Marco Bellinelli with 15 points, 5 of 10 shooting, 2 of 5 from the three-point line. That's been a nice little pickup for the Sixers. He's been playing really well for them so far. For the Magic, you had Aaron Gordon with 10 points, 11 rebounds, shot 4-15 from the field, 1-5 from the three-point line. Aaron Gordon was a guy who started off the season really well, looking like he could have been the most improved player of the season. But ever since, I guess, from the mid part of the season to now, he just hasn't looked that good. It might have been just because of injuries, had hurt him and all that stuff. But he's going to be a restricted free agent after this year. I mean, he's not going to end up with a contender, I don't think. And like with him being a restricted free agent, obviously the Magic could match whatever he gets. So I see teams like the Kings, like, teams of that level going after a guy like Aaron Gordon, but the Kings were to get a guy like Aaron Gordon, that'd be probably their best free agency signing in the history of their team, I guess you could say. The Kings are a team, like the Celtics really, like now they're starting to, but the Kings have never really been a team that could sign free agents, kind of like how the Lakers have been since they signed Shaq. Lakers have never really signed a top free agent. But either way, like I said, Aaron Gordon had 10 points, 11 rebounds. Nikolai Vucevic had 7 points, 4 rebounds, shot 3 of 11 from the field, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. DJ Augustine had 6 points, 4 assists, shot 2 of 9, 1 of 4 from the 3-point line. Most Bates had 10 points, shot 3 of 6 in 7 minutes played. Bismack Biyombo had 13 points, 6 rebounds, shot 5 of 7 from the field. And then you had guys like Aaron Aflalo, who dropped in 7 points. Shelvin Mack struggled in this one, 15 minutes played. 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 2 from the 3-point line, 6 assists, 3 points. Like I said, Philly won this one 118-98. All right, so let's talk about Philly. Philly could have swore a couple days ago they were the 6th seed. Now they're up to the 4th seed. All right, they're putting some pressure on the Cavs there. They're only a game back of Cleveland. Cleveland's currently the 3 seed. All right, Philly's currently 7 games back of the Celtics for that 2 seed, 11 and a half games back of the Raptors for that 1 seed. So if you're Philly thinking maybe we could make a run for the 2 seed, you can't. Don't even let that cross your mind, all right? But either way, with Philly right now playing well as the 4 seed, I mean, it's kind of interesting to see here because Philly, obviously, you got Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, who I think is a top 5 center in this league already. Dude's going to be a superstar by next year, I feel. Ben Simmons and Lonzo Ball are very similar, but Ben Simmons is better than Lonzo in this way, where Ben Simmons knows he's not a good shooter right now, okay? Lonzo Ball, we could agree, Ben Simmons, Lonzo Ball, not the best shooters in the league by any means, all right? More like Marcus Smart level as far as him shooting the three ball, all right? But Ben Simmons, Lonzo Ball can't shoot the ball. Lonzo Ball does not take that into account, that he can't shoot. Lonzo Ball, like I said, yesterday went 2 of 15, took 12 threes, only hit one of them, okay? Ben Simmons, you're never going to see him taking a bunch of threes. You're rarely going to see him take a three as it is. Ben Simmons knows what works for him. Drive to the hole, be a facilitator, all right? Play the point guard position, get rebounds, play defense. That's why Ben Simmons is going to win the Rookie of the Year this year, all right? If Lonzo Ball was basically doing what Ben Simmons did, driving in, pretty much making everyone around him better, as he's already doing. But Lonzo Ball, I'll give him that. He is making the players around him better. Brandon Ingram has played well this season. Kyle Kuzma's a guy who's been playing extremely well, all right? So Lonzo Ball, yeah, I'll give him that credit. That's what he's doing like Ben Simmons. He's making players around him better. But nonetheless, I said, with Ben Simmons, you're never going to see him taking a bunch of shots, all right? He knows they're not going to go in. He knows he struggles shooting the ball. So that's why he drives in. So Ben Simmons, all he's got to do is pretty much work from the ground up, all right? Keep driving in, eventually jump, develop a mid-range jumper, and then you develop that three-point shot, all right? If Ben Simmons could develop a mid-range shot, then he's going to be one of the better players in the NBA, all right? Because mid-range is not dead. Carmelo Anthony still does it, and Carmelo Anthony's probably not the best example of it, but DeMar DeRozan's probably the best mid-range shooter in the league. KD is also one who shoots the mid-range pretty well. KD might be the best mid-range shooter in the league. Sean Livingston, a guy who's up there, shoots the mid-range very well too. Sean Livingston hardly ever misses a mid-range shot. Like I said, if Ben Simmons were to develop a mid-range shot there, I mean, he'd be locked, loaded, ready to go. All right, but even with the Sixers, I mean, this is encouraging because of the fact that Markelle Fultz, All right, your number one draft pick, the guy that was supposed to be the point guard of the future for your team. All right, supposed to be playing with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid this year, supposed to take over the world, and he just doesn't. I don't know. Markelle Fultz, like the weirdest story of the season. Kawhi Leonard's kind of matching up with him right there. All right, Kawhi Leonard with the whole Spurs thing. I mean, I don't know if I talked about it on Wednesday or if it came out yesterday, but the Spurs had like a little players meeting, I guess. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted it out that the players had a, yeah, they had a players only meeting in San Antonio, pretty much trying to get Kawhi Leonard to come back and play for the Spurs this season. I mean, that's pretty hilarious. Danny Green goes out and says it's not true, but I think I'm more inclined to believe Wojnarowski, believe Woj, because of the fact that he's usually never wrong. And I feel like Danny Green, this is more so him just trying to cover his tracks a little bit, trying to think, yeah, the team didn't call a meeting. But either way, getting back to Philly, like I said, well, Markelle Fultz, I mean, supposed to be that guy that could score three different ways, driving in, mid-range, and three-point shot. With him, I mean, it's just a matter of, was it his shoulder that was hurt that messed up his jump shot, or was it just his jump shot that was messing up his shoulder? I have no clue. Like I said, one of the weirdest stories of the season. Guy forgot how to shoot the ball. I mean, remember when he was shooting those free throws? Looked like a robot. I go one here, and then back up, and then let the ball go. All right. Markelle Fultz, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's looking like he's not going to be back this season, as he shouldn't be. There's no reason to bring back a Markelle Fultz, even if he says, yeah, I'm ready to go, because of the fact that, I mean, the dude's already mentally shook. His confidence was gone for most of the season. You're going to throw him out in the Wolves with the, during the playoffs? No, there's no way, all right? So, I mean, yeah, that's one thing that's kind of encouraging with this Phillies team is that they've been without the point guard that was supposed to take over this season, all season long, and they've still played well. Ben Simmons has taken over that point guard spot and did extremely well with it. All right, and that's one thing, too, with, like, the whole LeBron thing. All right, LeBron going to Philly, there's a good chance of it happening, but it's just a matter of you put LeBron on Philly, what happens to Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz? I think Markelle Fultz is a guy who could play off the ball pretty well since he can shoot. I mean, if he remembers how to shoot the ball. And then with Ben Simmons, feel like he's kind of, without the ball, I don't want to say he's useless because that's kind of harsh, but just, he's a guy, you know, when he's playing the point guard position, gets guys like Covington playing well, Saric, all right, could feed the ball down low to Embiid. And then you got J.J. Redick, who's a nice little spot-up shooter there. So you put LeBron on that team. LeBron's a guy, no matter what team he goes to, whether it's the Rockets, whether it's the Sixers, whether it's the Lakers, whether it's the Trailblazers, whoever, it doesn't matter. If he's on the team, he's going to have the ball in his hands, and that's just it, all right? James Harden, like, it's crazy to say. Like, James Harden on the Rockets right now wouldn't even be the most popular player on that team because LeBron just brings that off. So LeBron's out there. He's going to have the ball in his hands constantly because that's what he does best. Ben Simmons is going to have to sit in the corner like Kevin Love does. And pretty much that's not going to work because of the fact that Ben Simmons can't shoot like Love. So that's why I don't like LeBron going there. I say you just develop what you got going on right now. All right, you got future stars in Simmons and Embiid. You got Fultz. If he comes back next year, then, I mean, if he comes back and pretty much has his head on straight and is not mentally, like, just down or anything like that and learns how to shoot the ball again, that's going to be a nice little piece there. I say you bring back J.J. Redick, all right? Only played, signed for 1 year this year with Philly. I say you bring him back. That's a veteran you need, especially if you're trying to make a playoff run and all that. J.J. Redick, granted, it was with the Clippers. Granted, they never really made it past the second round. I don't think they've ever made it past the second round of the playoffs, but he's got playoff experience. You want a guy like that to pretty much guide Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid there, all right? You got guys like Covington and Saric who could fill a role in the starting five and play well, and then the bench is pretty much where you got to sharpen up. You got Marco Bellinelli who's been playing well this season, but other than that, I mean, you got to bring in more guys. So, like, I like what Philly's got going on right now, especially this year. I mean, like I said, don't forget, I said that they could knock out the Cavs in the first round. I still believe it. I think the Cavs right now would be the favorites, but I wouldn't be so shocked if Philly ended up knocking out the Cavs. All right, and if Philly gets past, let's see, right now, Philly would be playing the Pacers in the first round. They'd have to, if they beat the Pacers, you get to play the Raptors, all right? As we know, the Raptors haven't been a great playoff team, all right? Kyle Lowry usually shrinks in the big moment when it comes to the playoffs. Remember last year, I think it was, or the year before that, where he had to go into the locker room and pretty much just had to calm himself down because he was so overwhelmed, all right? Philly could knock off the Raptors, and anything could happen in the Eastern Conference Finals. They could be playing a team like Boston or Cleveland, and they could knock off Boston as well as they could knock off Cleveland. I mean, with Boston, you got Kyrie Irving who's getting a procedure done on his knee. Not sure when he's going to be back. So the East is wide open right now. And like I said, I mean, a couple weeks ago, I said, don't be surprised if Philly ends up making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it looks like they're starting to prove me right a bit, but yeah, I just wanted to talk about Philly for a bit on this segment. I mean, I really like the way they're playing. Probably, as of right now, the way they're playing, probably the third best team in the East. All right? I guess you got to go Toronto, then Cleveland, and Philly there. Boston being fourth. Possibly Boston playing pretty well, too, without Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown. So, I guess there's a little bit of an excuse there. But either way, I mean, like I said, with Philly playing well, going to be interesting to see how it all ends up. If it's me, I'm not bringing LeBron in, as crazy as that sounds. But I mean, that's just a matter of, like, it could work with Ben Simmons, but like I said, I just don't think it will. Plus, you got Fultz. So I say, see what you got with Fultz. If he's ready to come back next season, or if he shows after the season that he's good and ready to go, then I say you keep your core and go there. All right. But either way, that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we're going to be talking about anything else that's going on in the world of basketball. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. So far today, we've talked about March Madness, talked about Thursday's games. Got a couple of good ones going on tonight. Made my picks for those in the first segment. Second segment, we recap Thursday's NBA games. Third segment, we talked a bit about the Philadelphia 76ers. And for this segment, as we always do, pretty much just going to talk about whatever crosses my mind as far as what's going on in the NBA or anything else. So, let's get into it. All right, mentioned the Spurs meeting that they had with... Adrian Wojnarowski comes out, tweets that the Spurs had a meeting pretty much trying to get Kawhi to come back and play. All right, Danny Green says that's false, and then I think they came out today and said that that the meeting wasn't specifically, like, it was more about, like, more, it was more than it was about, like, it wasn't just about Kawhi is what I'm trying to get at, all right? So, obviously, I don't know if you're the Spurs, like, what are you having a team meeting for if it's not about Kawhi Leonard, all right? I mean... Looking at the standings, I think they're currently the sixth seed right now. They're currently on a four-game winning streak. You got Tony Parker, who declined to comment on the meeting. So, yeah, they're on a five-game winning streak, I should say. 6-4 in their last 10. A game and a half back of New Orleans for that four spot. 2.5 back of the Trailblazers for that three spot. I mean, what could there possibly be a meeting about besides trying to get Kawhi Leonard to come back? And you have to think that, I mean, they did at least mention to Kawhi, like, a little bit about his injury and whether or not he could come back and stuff like that. I mean, just the Spurs, this has been a real weird season with them. They're in the news way more than they usually have been. I say they've been in the news more than this year than they have been in the last decade or so. All right, the Spurs are kind of like the Patriots, how they are in the NFL, all right? Both are real tight-run organizations. Nothing gets out. Nothing really gets in. All right, no problems usually or anything like that. I mean, this year you had with the Patriots, that little ESPN article that came out. Not sure how true it was or whatever, but nonetheless, it came out. Talking about the tension between Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft. With the Spurs, it kind of seems like there's tension between Kawhi Leonard and the team. Seems like the players, again, I'm just speculating or whatever, but kind of seems like the Spurs are like, hey, when are you coming back? Kind of seems like they think Kawhi's ready to go, but he's not. But either way, I mean, just, yeah, with the Spurs, it's been kind of weird to see that they're just in the news now. All right, and with the Spurs, this might be the end, the last run of their dominance. All right, Spurs have been good since, like, what, 98, 96, whenever Duncan came into the league. Won 5 titles since Duncan came into the league. All right, have always been a 50-win team. This year, I mean, they got to go 8-2. All right, yeah, they got to go 8-2 for the rest of the season to get 50 wins. It's going to be tough. All right, they got a bunch of good games going on this for the rest of the year, so we'll see about it. But either way, like I said, with the Spurs, I mean, calling team meetings, all that, players-only meeting, kind of weird. But either way, if Kawhi comes back, it's not going to be till playoffs. And I don't know, with this whole thing, like, the question keeps getting asked, is Kawhi ever going to return back in a Spurs uniform? All right, you got outlets like ESPN, Fox Sports talking about it. And, I mean, that kind of just makes it seem like there's more to it than it's just Kawhi's injury. There's got to be something there that we don't really know about. But either way, with the Spurs, I mean, usually just don't see this, like I said. So just wanted to mention that. Kyrie Irving's getting a minor procedure done on his knee to pretty much get the swelling down and all that, or not the swelling, but the soreness done and all that, get it out. I think it's that they're calling it a minimally invasive surgery on his injured knee. All right, minimally invasive surgery. That's got to mean it's minor or something like that. With the Celtics, I mean, as far as him missing the regular season, I wouldn't be worried about that too much. You're not going to lose that 2 seed. I highly doubt that the Cavs are going to go on some huge run and take over there. And I doubt the Celtics are going to, like, in order for the Cavs to pretty much make that two seed. Celtics have to lose like 7 in a row. Cavs going to win like 7 in a row. I doubt that's going to happen with like 10 games left in the season. So either way, with the Celtics, I mean, I wouldn't be worried about it too much. The only time I'd really be worried about it is if he wasn't ready for the second round. I think the Celtics team could get past the Bucks and the Heat in the first round just because of the fact that Terry Rozier has been a beast for that team so far this season. He's inserted his name into the sixth man of the year conversation. That's probably going to go to Lou Williams or Eric Gordon, but nonetheless, Terry Rozier's been playing really well, and he's been playing well even when he needs to start too. Because Kyrie Irving, it's not like he's just been missing games like lately. It's been more so like little periods of time where it's got knee soreness, so he'll be out and Terry Rozier will come in and start for him. All right, Terry Rozier's been playing really well, like I said. So, I mean, as far as Celtics go, I mean, this, like, no one's expecting them to go out and win the title this year. All right, even if they had Kyrie Irving ready to go. All right, because of the fact that there's two teams in the West that it's going to be tough to beat. Like, the Celtics could get a game or two, against the Rockets, could get a game against the Warriors, possibly, if they play good enough defense. But as far as getting a series, like winning a series against those teams, I just don't see it happening. I mean, Toronto, if anything, is the team that's most built to knock off a team like that. Those teams in the finals. And, I mean, we even got to see if Toronto could even make it to the finals as it is. So, I mean, with Boston, it's pretty much, if I'm them, I think, unless Kyrie's 100%, I'm just shutting him down for the rest of the year, all right? Because, I mean, the season pretty much went down the drain when you had Gordon Hayward, his ankle pretty much falling off his body in the first game of the season, all right? Once that happened, it was pretty much same old, same old. There was one point this season where the Celtics were struggling to score because they had no one else to create a shot besides Kyrie Irving, kind of like how it was with Isaiah Thomas the last couple of years, all right? Celtics will make the playoffs once you put the double team on Isaiah Thomas. Who's going to go out and create their own shot? Marcus Smart doesn't have a jump shot good enough to do that. Avery Bradley's more of a guy who needed to be set up. Jay Crowder, same with him. So that's one thing they struggled with the last couple of years, and that's one thing they struggled with this year. But you got guys like Terry Rozier stepping up. Jason Tatum, too. That's one big thing also. Jason Tatum, when Kyrie Irving's not out, Jason Tatum is fun to watch, all right? Jason Tatum, pretty much, with Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, and all those guys out there, Jason Tatum's more so the third, fourth option. But when you got guys like Kyrie out, Jason Tatum immediate comes the first option, and it is just fun to watch. Like I said, the dude's got a nice little mid-range shot, and he's just been playing well all season. Celtics really finally got themselves a real top good draft pick. Same with Jaylen Brown, too, all right? Jaylen Brown's really got to develop more of a consistent jump shot, but they went 2-for-2 on those picks, I feel. So as far as Boston goes with Kyrie Irving, I mean, I'd only be nervous if he's not back by the second round, but other than that, I think they'll be fine. I mean, they're not winning the title, so no real pressure on it. And then Steph Curry, going to be returning from his ankle injury. Missed 6 games, going to be returning tonight against Atlanta. This is a game I really, if I'm the Warriors, I mean, there's no point, like, I don't know, unless Steph is 100%, there's absolutely no pain or whatever. I mean, there's no point in bringing Steph back. If anything, just save him for the playoffs or bring him back right before the playoffs. I mean, what's the point of bringing him back right now? I mean, it makes no sense to me, really. But I guess he's a basketball player, he wants to be out there. So either way, Steph's going to be out there, ready to go tonight. All right, so let's make my picks for tonight's games. We got the Clippers facing off with the Pacers. All right, this game's in Indiana. Pacers are 24-13. The Clippers are 18-18 on the road. I'm going to go with the Pacers in this one. They've been playing real good basketball. Clippers are a team that's been kind of off and on the last couple of weeks, so I got the Pacers winning that one. And then we got the Nuggets facing off with the Washington Wizards. Washington's favored by 2.5 in this one. The Wizards are 20-15 at home. Nuggets are 12-23 on the road. I got to go with the Wizards in this one, all right? Struggled against the Spurs the other day, but the Nuggets are a bad home team or road team, so I'm going to go with the Wizards in this one. Then we got the Suns facing off with the Cavs. Literally do not need to explain myself for this pick. I'm going with the Cavs. That's all you need to know. You should know why already. Then we got the Timberwolves facing off with the Knicks. Kind of want to go with the Knicks, but I feel like I gotta go with the smart pick, right? The Knicks are trying to tank. They're 18-17 at home, though. Wolves are 14-22 on the road, but I think they're going to be able to pull it out, so I'm going with the Timberwolves in this one. Then we got the Nets facing off with the Toronto Raptors. Pretty easy game to pick right here. As you know, Nets are just a bad team. Raptors, one of the best teams in the league. I'm going with the Raptors in this one. Then we got the Bucks facing off with the Bulls. All right. Bucks have been kind of inconsistent this season. Sometimes you feel you can trust them. Sometimes you feel you can't. But either way, I'm going to go with the Bucks in this one. Bulls are trying to tank. 15-21 at home. Bucks are 15-19 on the road. Bucks are only favored by 5.5 on this one. So, I don't know, something to look at there, but I'm going to go with the Bucks in this one. Then we got the Heat facing off with the Thunder. I think the Thunder's last game was against the Celtics when they gave up a six-point lead with 20 seconds left. Still don't know how they did that. All right, but either way, they did. So I'm going to go with the Heat in this one. Heat been playing good basketball as of late. Thunder, a team that kind of struggled against good defensive teams. So, yeah, I got the Heat winning this one. Then we got the Jazz facing off with the Spurs. Spurs had a team meeting. Looks like they're going through some stuff right now. So I'm going to go with the Jazz in this one. I think they're going to be able to pull it out. Jazz aren't that good of a road team. 17-19 on the road. Spurs are 28-8 at home. And they're favored. But I got to go with the Jazz in this one. Especially, like, not even especially, but just because even though they're on the back-to-back, I think I got to go with them still. So I'm going with the Jazz winning that one. Then we got the Celtics facing off with the Trailblazers. No Kyrie Irving. No Jaylen Brown. Looks like Jaylen Brown's going to be back on Sunday, though, versus the Kings. So I'm going to go with the Trailblazers in this one. They've been playing good basketball. Are the better team right now between the Celtics and them. Since Kyrie and Jaylen Brown have been hurt. So I think the Trailblazers are going to be able to pull this one off. Then we got the Hawks facing off with the Warriors. I'm going to go with the Hawks. I almost made a mistake there. I'm going to go with the Warriors. Steph Curry's coming back. Warriors should blow him out. Not really going to be much of a game here. So let's recap my picks. I got the Pacers over the Clippers, Wizards over the Nuggets, Cavs over the Suns, Timberwolves over the Knicks, Raptors over the Nets, Bucks over the Bulls, Heat over the Thunder, Jazz over the Spurs, Trailblazers over the Celtics, and the Warriors over the Hawks. Only two upset picks tonight. That's the Jazz over the Spurs and the Heat over the Thunder. So that's going to wrap it up for today's podcast. Today, what we talk about? We talked about March Madness. We talked about yesterday's NBA games. Talked about the Sixers. And for this one, we talked about Kyrie. We talked about the Spurs. Talked about Steph Curry coming back tonight. And we made my picks for tonight's game. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back on Monday. So stay tuned and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.